For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before your eternal throne, we are so understanding, Father, that it is your divine desire, dear Lord, that men would be saved, that women would be saved, that children would be saved, that all of humanity would come to know you, dear God. It's never been your will that we would be separated from you from the very garden, O God. We know these things, but Lord, you made a way that men could come back to thee. You made a way that we, each and every one of us, could come to you, Father, and you gave us a free will to choose to do that, O God. But Lord, you've also called us as those who are part of your family that have returned to thy fold and come to thee, O God. You've called us, dear Lord, to reach out to those around us just like your Son did when you came. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming to earth. We thank you for being willing to be our sacrifice. And oh, Lord Jesus, would you come and help your servant tonight to speak forth your words, O God. Bind every word you want not spoken, Lord, and loosen this tongue, dear Lord, to speak every word, to speak into the hearts of the men and the women here tonight, O God. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory, ward off the enemy, dear God. She closed our minds out to the things around us, to the things of this world, dear Lord, that we're to be shut in with your presence, dear God, and Lord, able to tune into your holy will and your holy way, O God. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus Christ's holy name, rebuke thou the devil far away from us tonight. In Jesus' holy name, we plead the blood of Jesus over this service. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. The scripture we read here tonight is quite moving if you think about it. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has come to save the lost. Every single one of us is familiar. If you have been born again or you have a hunger after the things of God, you realize that Jesus came to save us because we were lost. Because we were outside the fold, because we did not know Him, because our lives were filthy and wicked and in wretched sin. But Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins, to transform us, not save us and leave us in our sins, to live in disgrace forever, and we could go down a terrible road on that. But I want to let you know that Jesus Christ not only came to save us who were lost, but that word that was spoken there before, He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to seek. Now, I know that, I'm sure many of you have, how many of you ever lost your car keys before? Or maybe you lost a contact, or you lost your glasses, or you couldn't find something else, or maybe you put a $100 bill somewhere, or you put a 50 somewhere, and you say, I know I had that somewhere for an emergency plan, now that you need it, you can't find it. Well, when you realized that you've lost that particular item, did you just bury your head in the sand and say, I'll just wait for it to come to me? Did you just sit on the couch and say, I think I'll try to find this. And you just sit there and don't do anything about it. No, if you're going to find something, you're going to have to put action to it. You're going to have to make an attempt. And I thank God that we can pray and God moves on hearts. But God has called mankind to be the ones to go to those who are lost. He first sent His Son as an example, Jesus Christ, that He would go to those who were lost. But you know, one of the tragedies in this case is, you know, your keys, when they were lost, did they know they were lost? Of course not. They're an inanimate object. They can't think. They don't know anything. You know, when the fact of the matter comes to it, the average person does not realize or know they're lost. So therefore, how does a lost person become found if they don't know they're lost? They need somebody to be seeking after them. They need someone that's going to go to where they're at and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I want to share a little story. Maybe you've heard this before. If you've listened to some of my recordings, I share this frequently. And if you have, just bear with us tonight. The story is of a true story of three young people who, on a fall evening after school, soon after school in 2008, they decided they were going to go for a bit of a hike out behind their house. It was a brother and a sister and a cousin of theirs. And as they endeavored, the desire was, the young man said to the two girls, said, well, you know, hey, let's see if we can find some waterfalls back in the forest. And as they went back through the forest, began searching for waterfalls, and it wasn't too long, they found a little stream and they found a small waterfall. It was kind of exciting. I don't know, how many of you enjoy waterfalls? You ever gone to visit some of the maybe Niagara Falls, or I don't know if there's anything out here in the West Coast area that's pretty phenomenal, and we kind of got excited when we seen this water spraying up in the air coming down, I don't know if it's about 87 or something, and I was going, that's pretty, is that a waterfall in the distance? What is that? You know, it's kind of fascinating. Well, these young people were in search of a waterfall. And so they found one, and they kind of decided, well, let's keep on going. Maybe we can find another one. And so they kept on going. You know, it was evening, and it wasn't going to be long until the sun was going to set. And sure enough, as they went along and not finding any more, the two girls had a little bit of wisdom, and they encouraged the young man. They said, we should probably turn around and go back, you know. We should probably start to make our way back. And finally, after convincing him, the three of them set forth to try to find their way back. It wasn't too long until they passed the same thing that they had passed before. They were lost. Now, how many of you have ever been lost in the woods before? I don't know, maybe in the city area here, we don't have many hunters or anything, but how many of you, I'm asking the wrong people. I think I need to ask the ladies, have your husbands ever been lost while driving? Would they admit, first of all, were they lost? Would they acknowledge that they were lost? These young people found that they were lost. But it was a little bit more exciting than just being lost in a car, because they're out in the middle of the forest somewhere, in a forest they really do not know. And now, as dusk begins to set in and darkness begins to come, they're trying to find their way out. I interviewed all three of these young people to just find out, what was it that they went through? How did they feel in the midst of this? What was it that they experienced? And the two young ladies were just talking about the horror and the fear that they had down the inside. They thought they were never going to be found. And one of them had a cell phone, and the cell phone battery was dying. I mean, what a perfect time for the cell phone battery to die, right? You know, you got mom on the other end. You're lost in a forest somewhere. Nobody knows where you're at. You don't know how to get out. And your cell phone battery's dying. You know, if there's any young people here, even some adults, you know, it's a good thing to keep those things charged, you know. You just don't know when you might need them. So there they were. They're terrified. I asked the young man. I said, so were you afraid in a situation like this? He said, well, no, not really. Oh, well, after I fell in the creek, I was. And you see, they had quite an experience as they began to try to trek their way out of that forest and found out that they were lost, and they ended up deeper in the forest than they ever expected to go. It wasn't too long, though, until they seen a couple of dogs kind of horsing around there in the forest, playing, chasing each other. And one of the young ladies was just deathly afraid, has a terrible phobia of dogs. I've seen this young lady just jump back when she, in her younger years, and smallest of dogs, just fearful that she jumped back on a couch one time. I remember seeing this happen. But there they were in the forest. Now there's a couple of dogs around them. One of the dogs kind of went their own direction. The other dog began to follow them through the forest. Now, I don't know if you have a fear of dogs, and you're lost in the forest, and there's a wild dog following you, that's not probably a very good thing. I mean, especially, you know, the wild dogs in that area. I remember when I was growing up, I grew up in that same area, and there were wild dogs that roamed the fields, roamed the forests. And I mean, they were just could be horrible, would tear up things. And so it was quite an experience for them. As they continued on, the dog that was following them kind of disappeared, and then all of a sudden they found it had come up into a position of leadership. And they began to follow the dog. And that dog led them entirely out to safety. They went through some obstacles, but they finally came out to safety. They finally came out to a place. Their parents came and were able to pick them up. And just how excited. You know that the young lady who was so deathly afraid of dogs asked her mom if she could keep the dog. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, what a turnaround. What a change. What a transformation that had taken place. You know, I've seen in the midst of this, they went through some really hard places. First of all, they ended up in the mess they were in because they desired to find something beautiful. They were searching for, can I spring over to something else? They were searching for the American dream. They were looking for something that was pleasing to the eye. They were looking for something that would whet their adventure appetite. And they ended up in a terrible mess. They ended up lost. It took a simple creature like a dog to lead them out of the forest. Now, God used a dog in their lives. But you know, there are lost everywhere we go. And all God needs is somebody who will be a simple vessel to be used of God to reach down to where they're at and help them. And you might think to yourself, well, I just don't know much about, you know, I'm kind of scared about this whole idea. I don't think there's no way I'm going to try and go out on the street this week, but I'm just going to be here for the services, kind of soak up what I can. You know what? You may not think that you have a lot of ability or skills. You may be even afraid, but you know, God can take somebody just like you and use you in a mighty and an awesome way to reach out to the lost. I remember some years back, I'd studied for a message. It was kind of exciting when you start looking at some of those Hebrew names and you find out what the depths of their meanings were. And I was looking at the spies that went in to spy out the land. You remember the story of Joshua and Caleb and the spies. And so I started looking at the various names of all these different spies. One of the spies' names was Renowned. Another one was Judged, or He Hath Judged. Another one was He Redeems. Another one was Salvation, or we would know that to be Joshua, meaning the same as Jesus. Another one was My Deliverance. Another one of the Hebrew names for these spies was God Is My Fortune. Another one meant fortune. These are the meanings of them in Hebrew, what they actually meant. Another one is My Kinsman Is God. Two of them refer to the word hidden, is what their names meant. And the last one, Majesty of God. Now there's one I missed. Do you know that one of the great men in that story, named Caleb, that his name meant dog? That's what Caleb meant. That's the meaning of it. And we think of that, of a dog as a simple creature. You know, very simple. Not always even the most intelligent of creatures, depending on what kind of dog you have. But here was these various spies, and Caleb, who his name actually meant something as simple as a dog, but yet God used him in a mighty way. God raised him up to be a mighty man of God, and God wants to raise you up to be a mighty person to be able to reach out to your world, to where you are at. If we think about some of the ways, now Jesus Christ, He gave us a lot of commandments. He taught us a lot of things. He said a lot of things about what weren't right and that we shouldn't do these things. If you read through the Word of God, we find that. But the other way that Jesus taught us was by His example. And so I want to look at some passages of Scripture, if you'll turn with me again, to Matthew chapter 11. And in these scriptures, you're going to have a class activity here while we go through this. Is I want you to be looking for the types of things that Jesus did and the places of where He did them. All right, so that's what we're looking for as we're looking at these verses. So we're going to start with Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. All right, let's turn forward to Mark chapter 6 and verse 56. Mark chapter 6 and verse 56. And whithersoever He entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought Him that He might touch if it were the border of His garment. And as many as touched Him were made whole. Let's turn again to Luke chapter 4. We're looking at the places that Jesus ministered, the types of places, and the things that He did. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. And He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And He preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Let us turn to Luke chapter 13 and verse 22. Luke 13 and verse 22. And He went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. So we see here that in these areas that we've read tonight, first of all, I'm going to touch on the one that oftentimes we think of, is Jesus taught and He preached in the synagogues. He went into the house of God and He taught and He preached. But predominantly, where was Jesus Christ's place of ministry? It was outside the synagogue. It was out in the highways and byways. What types of places did he go? Did anybody pick up on those? Cities. All right. Any others?
Towns.
In the villages, towns, small towns. Anybody pick up on the third? There was a third one.
Country.
In the country.
Everywhere.
That covers everywhere. That covers the city streets, that covers the small towns and villages, and that covers the rural areas. Jesus Christ ministered in all those. Now, the one passage of scripture, though, was kind of neat. Let me see if I can... Yes, it's this last one we read. It says, he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Now, Jesus had a destination. His destination was Jerusalem. But on his way to Jerusalem, he was ministering in other locations while he was going to his place of destination. So when we think about that, really, I want to encourage us tonight that one of the greatest ways that you can go, if you are not specifically called to a specific ministry, to a pastorate or to some form of evangelistic ministry, or maybe you're a traveling minister, whatever your calling might be, if you're not in that particular class of callings, that you don't have a full-time calling on your heart or a dedicated mission or dedicated pastor that God has called you to, He has called you that as you're going to your destination to be a witness. It's one of the areas that you can witness the best. I believe that we ought to have dedicated times and purposes and places that we're going, and we're saying we're going to go here on this day and we're going to try and do this. This is a focused, planned opportunity to evangelize. But also, evangelism is part of your everyday life. Now let me just reinforce that just a little bit. And I'd like you to turn with me to the last chapter in the book of Mark. Mark. Chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In verse 15 there are some key words. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now this word preach means kairoso in Greek. Kairoso, and this Greek word means to proclaim. It means to share. It means to get the message across. Yes, it means to lift your voice like I'm doing now, but it also includes even just sitting down on a park bench with one person sitting beside you and proclaiming the gospel. This word kairoso means more than to just project your voice as a preacher might do. Whether you're in the house of God, whether you're standing on a street corner lifting your voice and preaching as we would understand the word preach, it's deeper than that. It means to proclaim. So all of a sudden, each and every one of us are able to be part of that commission. You may not be somebody who lifts your voice up and preaches like I'm doing now, but you are somebody who can proclaim the gospel. Now, let's back up. I was actually at a Pilgrim Holiness Church, and I shared this in an opening message for one of my deputation services, and the brother came up to me and said, this is so exciting. He said, God's been speaking to me out of the same verse in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said, all week long, God's just been dealing with me, and I've been studying it, and I've been learning. He said, but, and I was kind of real excited. I said, this is exciting. And here I come. I'm here on Sunday. And all week long, God's been dealing with this man's heart about this verse. I mean, that was exciting. It's just to see God working in somebody's life like that. But you know, we are all in God's school. And you know that in just a matter of moments, the preacher can become the student. Amen, Brother Spivey, ever happened to you?
Absolutely.
Amen. Brother Acuff? Amen. Well, of course, we're all learning. We're all students of Christ. That's what disciple means. We're a disciple of Christ. And God teaches us through sometimes our students, through our parishioners, through people around us. And in this case, this brother came up to me and he said, but the words that God was helping me to focus on were the words, go ye. And he said, and I was just so excited as he began sharing this. I couldn't wait to get home and study this out. Because while I had studied into this verse, I hadn't really focused on those words in my Greek study on this. But the words go ye in Greek mean por yomehe, and it means to pursue the journey on which one has entered, to continue on one's journey. Now praise God, God has spoken to multitudes, probably thousands of missionaries through this verse of scripture, and say, go ye into all the world, and then God filled the blank for their part of the world as a full-time calling. But if we want to understand the depths of this verse, what we really need to grasp is this verse is given to every single born-again Christian.
Yes.
and that we are to be proclaimers of the gospel. How is it that we're supposed to go about being proclaimers of the gospel? And it's not exclusive to just this one defined area. But here God, Christ is telling us is that we're to go ye. In other words, we are to go as we're going about our journey in life. Wherever we might be going in our journey in life, to be a proclaimer of the gospel to every creature. Now, I don't believe that God is wanting us that we walk down the sidewalk and we've got to stop and talk to every single person that we see. Or that when we're standing in Walmart at the line that we've got to go line by line and talk to every person while they're captured in the line at Walmart and go to the next line. I don't believe that's what God's referring to. But I do believe that what he's meaning is that as we're going about our lives, look for the open opportunities and listen for the voice, for his voice telling us that this person needs to hear from you. And you know, it's a great opportunity to carry some gospel tracts. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that later in the week. But to share a gospel message, one of the easiest ways is to have a gospel tract with you. And so as you're going about your life, as you're going about this life that we live, in fact, I was listening to a song on the way here, not today, it was on a different day traveling here, and I was talking about going home. My eyes just filled with tears. I thought about going to be with Jesus and leaving this world and really just how much I don't like this world, you know, because I want to be with Christ. This world has so many heartaches and difficulties and problems along the way. And if you have a lifestyle that has no problems and no difficulties and no heartaches, would you please see me after the service because I could use your advice? I must be doing something a little wrong. There's a lot of things in this world that just don't seem to go right. And I'm looking forward to going home. And while I'm thinking about that and I'm kind of meditating on that, I'm worshiping the Lord as I'm listening to this song. God's just reminding me that I have a mission and I have a calling and there are people everywhere that do not know him and we need to be doing something about it, because if we go home and we've spent our days in idle time and we have not used the time that God has given us to try to help others get to be there in heaven, oh my, we have missed so much. We cannot take our wealth with us. I don't think there's going to be wallets in heaven. I don't know, maybe I could be wrong, but I don't think we're going to have a need for it. We can't take our wealth with us. We can't take our cars with us. We can't take, the only thing that we can take with us is someone else. Amen. Now, I've got a very dear, precious brother in the Lord that I love with all my heart. And he is a man that is very, very focused on prayer. And very focused on, and I believe that we must be focused on prayer. Amen. But if all we do is pray, and we never put any feet in action to those prayers, do you know that God has commissioned us to do the legwork? Amen. He's commissioned us to do something to reach out to the lost. Amen. Yes. He sent his own son to die on a cross that we could be saved, but also it says that he came to seek and to save the lost. Yes. Is Jesus Christ physically still on earth doing that? Yes. Who did he pass the burden on to? Those that would be his followers. Yes. And I know very well what it's like to be a timid person and a person that things don't come natural in this area. And you might look in through this week, you'll see different things that I do. And maybe if you go out in the street, you'll see things that are natural with me. They were not natural initially. It was something that God has worked in my life, and I submitted to him and I began to learn, and I'm constantly still learning. Now, if we're going to be a student of Christ, it takes an energy, doesn't it? It takes an effort. And we don't stick our head in the sand and expect to learn anything, right? We don't go sitting on a bench and not, you know, open a book or listen to some good preaching or show up at the house of God and expect to learn anything. Now, how many of you have a driver's license? Or you've had one in the past, or you hope to have one in the future? All right, so the majority, if not everybody here. Now, let's just go back memory lane for some of you that might be a little while ago. But in order to get that driver's license, I'll tell you what I went through. Now, I'm 41 years old. That's just pretty young to some of you, and that's kind of old to others of you. And in my life, I had to do these things. I had to get a doctor's physical, which included an eye exam. That cost money. Then I had to go and take a panel of questions And I had to answer those questions correctly in order to be able to get my permit. And I believe there was money exchanged with the government at that time, too. They just love to receive some blessings from us. I think all the time. We won't get into the political arena tonight. And then in order to understand those questions, I had to invest some time, and I had to open a book back then. Now you probably do it on the computer, but I had to open a book and study. I had to know how many feet to park away from a fire hydrant. I had to know how many feet to put your turn signal on, and what the speed limit is on unposted roads, and all those kinds of things. I had to learn about those, and I learned by studying from a book. Are you with me here? I mean, did you go through the same kind of thing? And then when I finally had got that permit, and now I drove for a little while in Pennsylvania, now you actually have to have logged so many hours before you can come back and take a test. I think that's a great rule. We didn't have to do that when I was a young person. You could actually get your permit, and this moment you got that piece of paper in the mail, you could go down and take your physical driver's test. You didn't have to log any hours. But today, that's what they have to do. They have to log so many hours. And then you went back down, and you got in a car, and somebody you don't know, dressed in a uniform that you probably don't care a whole lot for, crawled in the car beside you. And they insisted that you drive them around for a little while. I mean, it was exciting. Do you remember the chills that went up and down your spine? And that you were just so nervous. I mean, the sweat's probably pouring off your forehead. And finally, you either passed or you didn't pass. But eventually, you probably did it again if you didn't pass, and you finally got it right. Well, I made a mistake. I think I did a Hollywood stop, and I'm not even from California. Okay, that's what he told me. He said, that was a Hollywood stop. He said, you did not stop at that stop sign. But he still gave me my license anyways. I'm not quite sure why. There's probably other things that could have stopped me. But anyways, what I'm getting at, though, is in order for you to get your driver's license, you invested your money, you invested your intellect, and you invested your time. Now I have another question for you. How much money, how much of your intellect, and how much of your time have you spent learning how to fulfill the great commission that God has required you to do? And I would hope, as our brother mentioned in his introduction, that we would do it out of love. Because we love Jesus, because he saved us, because he changed us. It should boil a compassion in our heart that when we see that person that's hurting, that person that needs Christ, that there's something on the inside that rises up and says, I was right where they were. I could be damned in hell. I could be burning in hell right now. But because God used somebody to reach out to my life, there's probably not a single person here that's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ if there wasn't somebody who became a messenger in your life. In teaching on evangelism conventions similar to what we're holding right now, I asked the question one time. I said, I would like everybody here that knows the Lord just to give a very brief, just a few sentence testimony about how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody went around the room and started to testify. There were two people there that had a little bit of a different testimony than the rest. The majority were multi-generation holiness Christians. What I mean is, their mom and dads went before them, or some relative. And because of that, they were grown up in the church. Eventually, they got under conviction. They got saved because of the church atmosphere. Thank God. Thank God that our churches are still teaching the truth, that God is still moving in the holiness churches, that God is still saving people. But out of probably 30 people, approximately 30 people, there were only two people there from the outside world that had gotten saved. And do you know what the common denominator was about their testimony? It was that somebody on the inside of the church went to them outside the church. And because of that, that had an effect on their life, either a chain reaction or was the actual point that was able to lead them to Christ. Now, I don't know where your backgrounds are. I don't know how long you've been coming to this church or how long you've been in the holiness types of churches, however you want to describe it. But what I find pretty much across the board is the majority of our converts come from within. And few come from without. And I also find that with the exception of bus ministry, there's not a whole lot other kinds of outreach going on in our ministries. And thank God we do bus ministry. We need to do bus ministry. We need to do door-to-door ministry. We need to do all of those things. But friends, we need to get back to just going out into the highways and byways and compelling them to come in. Now hold on just a second with that verse. Compel them to come into the kingdom of God. Into his house. Is he referring to a building with a steeple when he said his house? He's referring into His kingdom, into His family of God. And I'm convinced in this age that we live in, the world has in some ways turned from the church. Because the church, they've seen the church. The church is, you know, the majority of ministers are not even living pure and holy anymore. The majority of churches aren't even teaching a doctrine that changes the lives of those that attend. So really, where would you want to go? The majority of the world has no idea that we exist. They do not know that there's still truth being taught. How is that going to change? It's only going to change when we, who God has saved, who God has sanctified, and I appreciate our brother, I typically mention that verse out of Acts, out of the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, I believe it was. The verse 8 you read? That we would be witnesses. You know, I find a lot of holiness people that struggle with the doctrine of holiness, struggle with an experience, I should say, not the doctrine. They've gotten sanctified, and then later they wrestle in their own mind, you know, they wrestle whether or not they're still sanctified. And they haven't gone back into sin. They haven't gone into wickedness. Their minds haven't changed in their understanding of God's Word. But they've not fulfilled one of the reasons that Jesus Christ sanctifies us. Why does God sanctify our hearts? To purify our hearts by faith, putting no difference between us and them, and that we would be witnesses. If we fail to fulfill one of the reasons that God has sanctified our hearts, do you think it's going to cause us any troubles? Think about it. And we may not go back to a deep lifestyle of sin or even fail in those areas, but there will be some struggles along the way. And I think a lot of times in ignorance, of course, God's compassion and mercy is reaching out to us. And if in ignorance, I believe we're covered under the blood. We're not continuing to do willful deeds of transgression. But when we understand what God's Word means, then what do we do? We walk in the light. We believe in walking in the light, right? Praise God. We walk in the light as He is in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. Praise the Lord. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. We can be cleansed from all sin and we can walk in the light. And when we receive new light, we walk in the light. God wants us to be witnesses. And each and every one of you can be a witness. Amen. Yes. No matter how timid or shy we are, we can be a witness. Amen. And I hope you, and I encourage you to come back through this week. You'll pick up on some tips, some things that will help you. And come with questions. Write some questions down at home, and I'll do my best to try to answer them. And if I can't, I'm going to ask our brother here to try to answer them. So, or Brother Acuff if he's here. But we're going to do our best to try to help each and every one of us. Amen. The pastor of this church was concerned enough about evangelism that God was making the clicks. Amen. Because God wants us to grow. God wants us to know more things. God wants us to be able to witness to other people. Amen. And I could go about 10 different directions right now and kind of steal some of the wind from the other services, but I'm not going to do that. And I don't want to keep you here any longer than we need to tonight. I'd like to share with you our mission work and what it is that we do. I do hold evangelism conventions. That's one of the things that I do, but that is not the main thing that I do. I do go out on the street with prayer stands, and you see one up here, but that's not the main thing that I do. In fact, I'm not quite sure what the main thing is that I do, because I do all these different things which I'm going to tell you about. And I don't know that there is exactly one main thing except the word evangelism. And that's the common denominator in my life and in all the things that I do is just different types of evangelism. Our mission work began in the year of 2006. I guess that's, was it 5 years ago now? It was December of 2006 when the Lord confirmed our heart to start this mission work. I'll give you one little whet of an appetite for that CD that's laying out there. Initially, I was praying, Lord, you know, if this is really what you want me to do, you want me to start this mission work, then God laid on somebody's heart to send in $500 to the home mission department for this ministry. Now, you have to understand that this ministry does not exist. So I've asked God to have someone send in $500 to a ministry that doesn't exist. And God did just that. If you want the whole story, you'll have to pick up the CD and listen to it out there. But that was one of the initial things that I was praying about, that if that's what God wanted us to do was to start this mission work. I ran the mission work simultaneously at the same time pastoring a small holiness church in Northampton, Pennsylvania, which God built up from two people when we went there to a successful congregation, no debts at all in the church. Within just about 7 years, we left there with a functioning church, and I thank God for that. Back about February, a little over a year ago, God started dealing with my heart about going full-time in this mission work. We had started out doing primarily prayer stand work, prayer station work, and then we stepped into producing CDs. And in 2009, we began producing CDs on a large scale basis. And since January of 2009, we have produced over 8,300 CDs. I praise God for that. And of those 8,300 at this point, over 72, 73, I'm not sure how many have gone out on this tour so far, CDs of those have been distributed to this world. We're sitting in stock probably somewhere around 1,000 CDs right now that God has used to reach out to people. Now, that's not just here in America in the places that I've gone, the churches I've visited, the camp meetings I've visited, but it's gone worldwide because of our website. On our website, you can order the free sermon CDs. We have shipped to places of Italy, Africa, India, and multiple places in Africa, Zimbabwe, Kenya, I don't remember all the locations, Northern Ireland, Canada, the Philippines. These are all locations that people have contacted us to order the free CDs. Not only has that, now this is what this ministry has produced, but some of the places in Africa, I know that one of the reasons they were contacting, I think even India, is they want to do similar ministries over there. They want to be doing ministries and outreach and winning souls and distributing CDs. And they've asked for permission about reproducing those CDs. I've given them permission. So I have no idea how many that they've reproduced over there and have distributed wherever. You know, God has used it in a very special way. I thank God for that. In April of 2009, it'll be just 3 years coming up here soon, we finally got more. I had sermons on our server before, but I didn't have any way of knowing how many were listened to. It's just a list that you just clicked on, downloaded the file. But the Lord opened the door for us to have an organized, searchable database of sermons. I believe there's somewhere around 80 of those right now on our website. And at this point, in nearly 3 years, over 3,300 sermons have been downloaded from that website and listened to. I don't know where at. Perhaps across the world. I'm not really sure. But if you take the volume then altogether, that's over 10,000 messages that have gone out to this world in just 3 short years. I praise God for that. I thank God. I started making them one at a time on my home computer to hand out on the streets. And I quickly found that they go when I'm on the street. I can drop 20 or 50 CDs every episode I'm out on the street without a problem. Unless it's a real small area or something. So God has used that in a very precious way. I thank God for that and what He's doing. The types of places that we go, street evangelism on populated city streets, that's typically when I use the prayer stand. If there's a place where there's a flow of people coming by, there's people walking by frequently, that's the good place to set up a prayer stand. You don't want to set up a prayer stand somewhere where there's nobody walking by. If there's nobody walking by, you're going to be frustrated. You're probably not going to want to ever do it again. I heard about some young people at a camp meeting that went out and set it up along a country road, people driving by. I just don't know that it was an effective place to do it. So on populated city streets, I use things like the prayer stand. If it's a city that's smaller, like the area where I live now, the cities are a little smaller. Williamsport's a smaller city, Sunbury, places like that. I'll typically, and Williamsport is one of the frequent places I've gone, is I just walk the streets. I'll put on one of my red vest that I wear. It lets people know that I'm there for a reason. It says prayer changes things on it. It's got these big pockets up front. I can put CDs in there, gospel tracts. And I'll just start walking around a series of blocks in that city and just passing out literature as I go. There's not that many people walking by me if I stood still. So therefore, there are people here and there. I just got to walk to where they're at. And I found God work in very special and awesome ways. And, you know, this ministry, we don't always see a lot of people like praying through in the street, but we're planting seeds. How many of you ever did any gardening? You ever do any gardening? Or maybe you plant? If you don't plant any seeds, will you get a crop? You won't see any fruit, will you? And I actually, I found out about a pastor's perspective. We had invited him to go, and another fellow from his church and I, we were going out to do some outreach in a nearby city. And his comment to the other brother was, he said, well, I'd rather spend my time doing something that would be more effective for the Lord. And I thought to myself, you have no idea. You have no clue. You know, the people that may, and meanwhile, can I just comment that the only people that get saved in this church are the ones that are already there? You know, and I'm not trying to downplay, but what I'm getting at is we've got to plant seeds. And that's one of the fundamental purposes of this ministry is seed planting. If there are no seeds planted, nothing's going to grow. So we go out on populated city streets, colleges, universities, schools, wherever we might be able to set up on a public street. You got to be careful if you're going to go on public property, on private property. You need permission to go to places like that. We do go to private property, fairs, carnivals, bazaars, festivals, storefronts, parking lots, flea markets, you name it, wherever we can open the door. But that, you know, that costs a little bit of money. You know, I've paid $20 to get a spot at a fairground. I paid $35 for a week spot at another fair. You know, it costs a little bit of money. Every time we go to the one flea market, it's $12. Every time we set up there, it's $12 to set up at that flea market. You say, well, you know, why do you want to spend money on that? Well, was your soul worth a few dollars? You know, was your soul worth $12? Was your soul worth $35? Of course it was. It was worth far more than that. And we need not to be afraid of that. And you say, well, you know, well, you got to be careful with funds. You know, no, we need to mind God. That's what this is about. And if we're afraid to spend a little bit of money to reach out to those around us, if they're going to know it too. You know, they're going to know whether you were willing to spend any money or not. And so we want to be faithful to minister in these areas. And that's some of the areas that we go. We do door-to-door evangelism in small rural areas, small towns, wherever it might be. Tracts and Bibles. We hand out tens of thousands of gospel tracts. I don't even know the volume of gospel tracts that we've distributed. We get some of those for free, some little scripture booklets you can get from World Missionary Press. I buy a lot of them because I like tracts that are going to stay in people's hands. And we'll be talking more about tracts here in the future. But we distribute a lot of those Bibles. I hand out, you see some of the Bibles I have up here. If I set up on the street, this is what you'll see. If I'm set up in a stationary spot, I'll set the prayer stand. I have a spindle here of CDs. This is all windproof. You can't, you have to pick them up in the back and slide them out is usually the best way to get them out. They won't come out by the wind or just pulling on them. Gospel tracts. The Bibles that we're using, I'll put the cheaper ones out, the little paperbacks, because some people just want to come by, they just want something. And, you know, I'm not going to go setting a $20 Bible up there on that shelf. This, occasionally I might do it if I feel led of the Lord, but I do carry the $20 Bibles in my bag. And when I meet somebody who's genuinely hungry for the gospel, I have no problem reaching that bag and handing them a $20 Bible. Now, I don't pay that much for it, but that's their retail price. They're a good quality, giant print, reference Bible. And I thank God we've had some brothers that every so often they'll send money in designated for Bibles, and I like to buy these good Bibles. So we distribute Bibles, not only on the streets and the different locations we go, but even at some of the churches I've been to. I was at a big church one time, and this one young fella came back to me at the back of the deputation table on the way out the door, and we got talking. Second time ever in a conservative holiness church. And we got talking about things, and I said, why don't you go down front and grab one of each of those CDs down there. I think they'll be a good encouragement to you. He said, really? And I said, yeah. I said, they're free. I said, there's no charge. And he said, there's no charge. And I said, yeah, please go down and take some of those. And I looked at him, and I said, do you have a good Bible? Do you have a good, I said, what kind of Bible are you using? And he told me, and it just wasn't something that really I felt was going to feed him. And I said, why don't you go down there? I have a few of those good Bibles laying on the top. So I said, I want you to grab one of those for yourself. He wrote me an email in about 2 weeks and just expressed that after listening to those sermons on CD, how much of an impact it had on his life. And I thank God for that. I thank the Lord for the effect that it had in the Bible that he was able to receive. Whether or not that he could afford it. You know, a lot of people don't have a good Bible because, quite frankly, they can't afford to buy one. And then there's other people who don't have a good Bible because they'd rather spend their money on something else. You know, so I guess there's two kinds of situations there. But these are the types of things that we do. One of the other things that we started doing is what I call our frontline ministry. On every one of our gospel tracts, we print freedomgospel.com, a toll-free number that they're able to call. That toll-free number rings to me anywhere that I'm at. I forward it to my cell phone when I'm not at the house. It rings on my office line at our house if I'm at home and it's not forwarded. There's also the website freedomgospel.com. It's a non-denominational website. And the reason for that, it's non-denominational, but it's all holiness. The reason for that is there are people, like I mentioned before, there's people that are so sick of the church, they really don't want anything to do with the church. But that doesn't necessarily mean they don't want something to do with God. They just haven't found the right Bible-believing, God-anointed church yet. And if we go out and we help them, you might be just amazed at how many might start coming to a Bible-believing, God-anointed church when they know that you're here. I was out handing gospel tracts one time, and I passed out a gospel tract to this guy. We were at a park, and he was just real interested in what I was talking about. We're talking about the things of the Lord, and he's just interested, and he was hungry. And then I mentioned, at that time I was pastoring, I said, yeah. I said, well, you know over here on this road? And I said, you know where this little church is? I said, I pastor that church. And the moment that I revealed myself as a pastor and that I pastored a church, he handed the gospel tract back to me. He said, no, thank you, I am not interested, and he walked away. Well, why? Well, something went wrong somewhere in his experience. I don't know. I'm not saying it was in his heart. But either way, I feel a very deep need that the gospel tracts I'm handing out are not affiliated with any, especially with all that I'm doing and where I'm going. I can't have numbers that are affiliated. Why would I hand out a tract that says God's Missionary Church and there's none anywhere past Texas? You know, it would have no purpose or reason to it. But the toll-free number allows them to contact me. On the website is resources, some gospel tracts that they can find to read. All the online sermons are there. They can, all the list of I shouldn't say all because we've added a new title, but some of the free CDs that we have available are listed on that website as well. As well as a database link that is connected to, holiness.cc. How many of you have been on that website before? Holiness.cc. John Plank runs that. James Plank's brother, Harry Plank's son. He runs that, but he's not been able to always keep the database of churches up to date. And I knew that he was doing something with that. I didn't know where things were at with it. And God had put it on my heart to have a database of good conservative holiness churches on the freedomgospel.com website. And so I called him and said, brother, I said, this is what the burden of my heart. Is there any way that we can kind of work together in this? Is there any way that now if you go to holiness.cc, it says holiness.cc all over the website. So it's not technically non-denominational. I said, is there any way that you can basically set up a kind of a blind environment that's not branded with anything that would allow that portion to be linked to our website? And so sure enough, he did that. And so when you go to our website, you can find a church, and on there it takes you right to the database of churches. You can put in the state and show you all the holiness churches that are registered with that website. And he's also given us the ability, the administrator abilities to go in there and update that database, add churches as we want to add them. And so if you have a church, you're not on that list, if there's a group of good, solid, conservative holiness churches that are not on that list, let me know. We'll be happy to put them on there. And that is really, it is a conservative holiness group of churches affiliated with like IHC. And so we're not putting up churches that are not where they need to be. So if you know some churches that need to be up there, feel free to pass the information on. I do have an occasional young fellow that's helping us with the ministry. We try to give him an offering occasionally as he does work for us. And my sister does a little bit of clerical work once in a while. So I'm hoping that somehow I can get one or both of them trained because I don't have the time to do it with everything that I'm doing. And so we're hoping to be able to start updating this database with more information. A lot of it's out of date, but it gives a front line. That's why I call our frontline ministry, that when somebody goes to that website, they can find a spiritual place to worship. They can find a place. I have a card that I use wherever I go. It has a little tearaway at the bottom. This allows me to get contact information for people who are hungry for the Lord. I can give that card then to the pastor of the church I'm working with, or if I'm in an area just doing some outreach that God put on my heart, I can mail them off to a local holiness pastor. The tearaway card has, I put the contact information down at the bottom there of who they can call. Of course, it always has our toll-free number on the bottom. So no matter where I go, I'm making contacts and I'm getting information on to pastors that they can use wherever they're at. In addition to the types of outreach we're doing, the various itinerant ministries that we're doing, holding an outreach convention like we're doing right now, and then something I call evangelistic meetings. And that's a little bit like kind of, you know, what we're doing over here with Brother Acuff. We're going to be holding a dog sermon there. We're doing it here as well. Not just a dog sermon, but the idea is to couple some outreach in that community as well as hold a service that gives them an opportunity to come out for that service. And so we're trusting to get down the street with Brother Acuff here in his area as well. God has put on our heart for this area. And this, but I call this an evangelistic meeting. It may be a weekend of meetings. It may be, I do hold revival meetings and camp meetings and things like that. But this is what I kind of call it on a mission basis. I'm not looking for an offering. I didn't drive all the way from Pennsylvania expecting to get offerings in the Phoenix area that are even going to begin to put a dent in our trip. You know, this is done as a mission work. And I've just had such a burden. God put it on my heart to add this phase to this ministry when he was calling me to go full time. And I was struggling with it in some sense. And I was praying, well, Lord, if this is really what you want me to do, then you have somebody contact me and ask me to do the very same thing that you're showing me you want me to do. And within a short period of time, I think it was actually the very next week, a brother asked me about visiting two churches and doing the same kind of thing for them. And so God went beyond just having me be asked for one church, but God came very quickly and even asked for the second time. Another confirmation, you know, as I was praying, well, Lord, you know, I'll probably be holding some revival meetings and things like that. Lord, if this is really your will for me to go full time, then you put on somebody's heart to just talk to me about holding a revival meeting. And within, I don't know, a week or two, I was visiting a church and talking with somebody, a board member of church, and they said, they talked to me about doing a revival meeting. Immediately, God was working in those capacities. So we thank God for that and for how He's working. Everything we do is basically a mission based. There are some personal ministry things that we might do here and there in addition, but the majority, the majority of all that we do is set up as a mission work. And so that's kind of what we're doing. We're trusting God to help us in a very precious way, believing that He will. The Lord has helped us to get here so far. We thank God for that. If you've seen the elongated motorhome out there, please don't think that I'm a wealthy missionary. That is a 1998, believe it or not. It is 14 years old. We got a great deal on it. I think the Lord preserved that thing in a pole barn for us. And my mother and I are actually co-owners of that, which is a unique thing. I don't know if you ever heard of it. We basically have a timeshare motorhome. So, you know, Lord worked things out that way. She can go camping when she wants, and I can go out and do the ministries that we're doing. Please pray for us as we endeavor to mind God. I don't know if you have any questions. I'd be happy to try to take some questions at this point. If not, we'll close, turn the service record, Brother Spivey, and close in a word of prayer. Yes?
On the Freedom Gospel website, on Holiness Online, I know there's about 280-some churches, I think.
It sounds about right. I know it's 200 and something. I don't know the exact number.
With Freedom Gospel, I have a former pastor quoted Brother Shmuel, that Brother Shmuel said that he believed there was probably 3,000, counting independent churches in the United States. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's going to take a while to create a database. A lot of churches, some of them don't want any part of it. They don't want their church posted in there. You know, I don't exactly understand all the reasons why, but we would love to see as many churches posted in there as we possibly can.
So on the Freedom Gospel,
it's the same database. So yeah, it's the same. At this time, it's the same database. You know, I haven't decided to start it all. I mean, I could download probably what's there and start over, but then it just doesn't make any sense. This way, if we're populating that and Brother John Plank's populating it, and he just doesn't do a whole lot with it. He hasn't really done a whole lot with it in the last several years, just occasionally if somebody sends him an email or calls him up or something. So it's something it's the exact same database of churches. Yep. So, I mean, when you click on that on our website right now, it actually says, please stand by while you're forwarded, and then it just forwards it to a generic search engine for that website. It doesn't say holiness.cc. It's just kind of blank. It just has the basic information. Our goal, and I'm looking for somebody to help us do some redesign of our website, is to actually have that where it's a frame within the website, so it doesn't look like you ever left Freedom Gospel. So it sets right in there. But my intent is to work with that group of the various churches that are there and established as part of our, you know, larger scope of the holiness movement. So. How's your typing skills? You want to help add? Would you like to help add those in there? You know, get on the computer and type, you know? I'm looking for volunteers all the time. You know, we'd love to just dispatch little jobs like that all over and oh yeah, Brother So-and-so, I just shoot an email off or say, email this brother. He just goes in, updates that stuff. That'd be tremendous. So, another question.
With your sermons that you distribute, as well as having a website, would those be sermons that you have preached then 100%, or do you pull in other sermons?
No, I am open. In fact, if you've read many of my newsletters, and you, I think, just got on the newsletter list probably this April, so you haven't seen that many, I am open for people to send me MP3 files. If they send me a CD or a cassette tape, we can convert them. But I've got a lot that are just sitting there, and I have no time to do that. I try every new time I release a newsletter, I try to have some new updates that have gone up on the server. So I am open. If you've got a message and you think the world needs to hear this message, please get it to me. And we, you know, I try every time I release a newsletter, which is anywhere from every 3 to 6 months. Right now I'm right at a 6 month line. It's been a difficult winter with everything, but so I try to have new titles up. They are not all me. They're from a spectrum of different people. There's a lot of Keith Daniel messages out there. How many of you ever heard of Keith Daniel before? He is a precious brother. He is a conservative holiness missionary evangelist from South Africa, and one of the godliest men that I know. And I appreciate Brother Daniel. There's some messages. I have two on CD. There's a whole. I probably got 20 or 30, maybe more messages out on the freedomgospel.com website. My mission website, by the way, is keisters.net. It's also godsmissionary.com. That's where I had started it. And I'm in the middle of kind of phasing that over. I may even just change the name to be something a little more specific to the ministry. So right now you can go to godsmissionary.com for my mission website. Or you can go to keisters.net/godsmissionary.com. When the bookmarks are here, you'll have that on the bookmark. So it's just not here at this present moment. Any other questions? Yes.
What do you think the most powerful is, the word of mouth or the print page?
For reaching people in hearts? Yeah. It depends on the person. It depends on the receiver. Different people receive information differently. Some people are very visual. Audio kind of person, they're going to most effective way for them is to going to be hear the word of God preached. And then there are other people that just reading, it just absorbs into them. So good question. Any other questions? Well, thank you so much. And hey, make a log. If you have some questions, we'll do our best to answer. I can't promise that I can answer it, but I will do my best to try. So when you're thinking about it over the night and even after tomorrow night's time or session, you have some questions you think about once you get home, just jot them down and we'll try to do some question answer stuff. So and if you remember, please let me know and just make it on a personal basis. We don't have anybody, and I don't want to do any raise hands or something. But if you're interested in going out in the streets with us, let us know. We're going to try to carve the times in there and get things set up just the way we want them for that. All right. All right, well, thank you so much for your attention tonight, and we'll turn the service back over to Brother Spivey.
Dan, thank you, Brother Keister.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to the rest of the week, brother. Praise the Lord. Let's close with that chorus. It's just warm and starting that chorus and come in for the ladies.